Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
So, the funniest thing happened to me last week.
Okay.
I'm still not well. It was Friday, like an hour before the end of the workday.
So this was at work?
Yeah. And it was just me and Libby in the office, which, like, we're besties, okay? In the office, like...
Libby!
Anyway, we were just listening to, like, good tunes from, like, the noughties. Yeah. Like, super loud. Yeah. Like, on, like, max speaker volume. And those walls are thin. And the office is located at the bottom of, like, a residential building.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so anyway. Just to sketch you the context. I get up to go to the toilet. And the chorus to Sexy Bitch by David Guetta.
Oh, God. Here we bloody
It's about
go.
To start. So I see, I'm, like, standing by the door, okay, with my arms in the air. And I say to Libby, I'm going to sing the chorus and then I'm going to the toilet. And at that exact moment, not my boss, but the big boss walks into the office.
No.
Music on full volume. Me standing there with my arms in the air.
No.
Thank God. Thank God it was at the part in the song where it was just nothing was happening. It was just music. There were no lyrics. I had sprinted to the speakers and turned the volume all the way down before Sexy Bitch starts playing. It was just so embarrassing. And she was laughing.
Oh my God. Okay, yeah. That's good.
So this week I was in the office and I was sitting with my manager and she walks in and she looks at me and she starts laughing. And she's like, oh my God. Manager's name. Did I tell you about what happened last week? And I was like, oh my God.
Oh my God, that's so good. At least you saw the funny side. Good bonding.
Well, hopefully.
I would die.
It's good because it was a Friday night.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if it was any other weekday. Also, what she didn't see was that I was literally doing, like, the finance. I was on the Excel working really hard at my desk just singing loudly to David Guetta, but regardless, I was working really hard.
Yeah.
She just didn't see that part because I was standing by the door.
I'm just going to go to the toilet.
That's so good.
It was so embarrassing.
And we're live.
Do I make you nervous, Corky?
I'm a homosexual!
Lesbian.
I'm a homosexual.
I have loved you the way they said!
You fancy gears?
I'm having a proper full-on gay crisis.
Hello and welcome to Gay Actually. Thanks for being here. It's going to be a fun old gay time.
Pitch Perfect is a lesbian musical film.
Of course.
I want to carry off badass lesbian chic like Kate Blanchett can.
Welcome.
Hello.
Hello and welcome to Gay Actually. This is a podcast where we talk about film, TV, queer culture. If you like gay things, you'll probably like listening to us. We chat some good things.
I love that you say, if you like gay things, you'll probably love listening to us, as if we're the gay things.
We are the gay things.
I mean, we are the gay things.
Am I wrong?
I mean, I love objectifying myself, so it's totally fine.
Okay. As always, my name is Amber, and I'm joined by my co-host and friend, Joyce.
Hi.
Hi, Joyce.
Hi, Amber.
How are we feeling today?
I can't even put it into words without being disrespectful.
Damn, girl.
yeah, how are you feeling today?
Retweet.
Pass it on to the next person. Double it and pass
Double
it on.
Double it and pass it on to the next person. It's a day, so we're going to hype ourselves up right now.
We honestly, it's so good that we're talking about a really fun film and not about like the most depressing thing ever.
Can you imagine if we were like, talking about like...
If this was Oliver Stranger's Day...
No, please.
I would have to postpone. Five more shots before I could do this.
Okay. Yeah. We just have to like swap the schedule. Luckily we're talking about a really, really fun film, a really, really famous film from the 90s. We're going classic, we're going camp, we're going gay.
Oh my God, we're from the 90s.
Yeah. Oh my God. Ooh. A 90s film from your 90s... friends. We are younger than this film, sorry.
You're older than me, so
excuse me. I'm like 6 months older than you.
I'm just saying we've
had this argument on the podcast before.
I'm just saying you'll get less judgment than I will because I'm a year
maybe
later.
Yeah, but I was still born after Diana died.
Okay, I didn't know that was a marker of coolness.
The hallmark of UK culture. Okay. UK queer culture.
You know, actually in this generation it's 9/11. Were you born before or after 9/11?
Way before.
Yeah, exactly. Me too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Lady Gaga started, like, doing her songs in, like, what, 2006?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just guessing.
Gaga.
Gaga. Just
Bad Romance,
like,
2009, right?
Yeah, like, Poker Face, when was that? Don't know. Alexa, when did Poker Face by Lady Gaga come out? Oh, she's triggered.
2008. I was 10. No.
I was 10. You just turned 10 because it was released in January.
Oh, yeah. I can't count. I just turned 10. Anyway.
Anywhere else that be a 10.
No. No. Not
I just
again.
Turned 10. Anywhere else did call me Ken.
That's the energy Shit. I need. That's the energy I need. Anyway, what film are we talking about?
The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Yes, the 1994 gay classic. Apparently this is very big with the gay men, so if there's any gay men listening.
Hello.
Hi. Thank you so much. This film was actually requested by a colleague of mine.
Hi, colleague.
Hi, colleague.
That's really cool.
They were like, oh, so you do a podcast on gay film. Have you seen Priscilla, Queen of the Desert? And I was like, no. And they were like, you should. And then review it. So here we are. You're welcome.
Great. Well, I think we should. I think it's crazy that we haven't seen it before.
I agree, yeah. It's 30 years old this year. We're celebrating its 30th birthday.
Happy birthday. I love it. And I've known about this film for a really long time. Mm. I think just because, I mean, I was such a big Drag Race fan when I was younger. So I've known about this film for a long time.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I just never watched it.
No, I'd never seen it. I actually heard of Tu Wong Fu before I heard of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Wow.
And Tu Wong Fu we're going to review later in the year. But the reason we're doing Priscilla first is because Priscilla came out first. Two very similar plots,
mm-hmm.
And concepts. But Priscilla came out the year before. I don't know if that was planned. We'll get into that in the Tu Wong Fu episode. But anyway, this is the pioneering film. We're going to start with that one.
Yep.
Set in Sydney, Australia, 1994.
Sydney to Alice Springs, really. I mean,
Sydney to Alice Springs. Take it away, Priscilla. What if we did the episode in an Australian accent for the rest of the time?
Oh my God.
Oh my God. So, okay.
Go girl.
Go girl.
I can't do Australian. I can do a few words like Australia.
Oh, g'day.
G'day, mate.
Bondi Rescue.
Well, condensation.
Condensation?
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Okay. Ema, no. The condensation.
Emma! Oh no! Cleo!
Is that Kiwi or is that Australian?
I think it is Australian.
Okay.
Okay, let's talk about Australian media first of all before we get into this gay ass film. What is your.
Wentworth, baby.
Wentworth is Australian?
Oh yeah.
Oh my Christ. Okay, so I was gonna say, what's your experience or exposure to Australian media?
Very little.
Okay, okay.
Well, obviously, H2O just out of water.
I was going to say, oh no.
Oh no. Actually, I used to watch a lot of YouTubers that were Australian. I think I have more exposure from that than from actual, like, Yeah, there's a lot of famous Australians, I would say.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Also, Naomi Watts and Nicole Kidman. Watts.
Yes!
God bless.
My favourite picture of Nicole Kidman will forever be when she leaves the divorce courthouse from divorcing Tommy Cruise. Honestly, such an iconic image. Yeah. Slay, slay, slay.
Amazing. Love it.
So, Australian media. We actually got a lot of Australian TV in the UK growing up. Obviously, there was Neighbours.
Neighbours, yeah.
And a lot of kids' shows were on UK kids' TV channels. So, H2O. There was like this weird... I can't remember what it was called, but I saw it come up on Instagram the other day and I had like... I went through like a wormhole of like, oh my God. Huh. But it was a show where there were these three girls roaming... They were ghosts and they were roaming the school halls, but no one knew they were ghosts. So they were just like friends.
That rings a bell.
Yeah. The theme tune was, some things have changed, some things have stayed the same. Cannot remember what it's called right
Sounds
now.
Sounds so noughties.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It might have been on the cusp of 2010, but I remember that really strongly. And then just Bondi Rescue. Also, from the similar era to Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, Muriel's Wedding. I don't know if you've seen Muriel's Wedding.
No, I haven't.
It's iconic. It's so, so good. It's Toni Collette. It's about Muriel's wedding. Honestly, I wish we could review it.
But it's not gay.
No, it's not gay. But it's so good. It's so good. Shame. There's like this line, like me and my friend watched it growing up, and it's like, oh, you're terrible, Muriel. Like, it's just so good. It's so camp. Like, it's so iconic.
I love it. Oh, okay.
Anyway, that's my experience of Australian film.
I think that's great.
Should we talk about the film?
We definitely can.
I mean, where to start? I'll give a brief summary. Where to start immediately starts. It's a very simple premise, so I won't spend too much on it. But basically, two drag queens and a trans woman get a cabaret gig in Alice Springs. So they drive from Sydney to Alice Springs in a bus called Priscilla.
I love that.
That's the summary.
That is the summary.
And how simple... The simplest of ideas are the most effective. A simple road trip, a bonding opportunity between three queer people. What more could I want?
It's fantastic.
We learn more about them along the way. We learn about Bernadette's trans journey. We learn about Tick's journey of identity and masculinity and femininity. And we learn that Adam is chaos.
Yeah.
There's always got to be one. I think, like, if we start maybe by talking about the characters. So there's Tick. He is the guy that gets the gig. His drag persona is Mitzi, and he basically invites Adam and Bernadette to come along.
Bernadette just lost her husband, yeah. And he slipped on peroxide in the bathroom trying to bleach his hair.
I thought that was rogue. I also feel like they don't focus on the grief too much, and I think that, like, even though I was kind of like, it's like he never existed in the film, I also was like, it's coming out at a time where the gay community has just dealt with so much grief. I actually don't mind that we don't hear a lot about the husband. I don't mind that we kind of focus on Bernadette's journey post-grief.
Yeah.
That's fine for me. I love that story of queer trans people kind of learning to live in a world, like, in a happier way. Yeah. That was quite nice.
I think I love a road movie. Love, love, love. Yes. I wrote my undergrad dissertation about road movies. Like, I love it.
Yes.
And I love what it represents. It's so, like, so simple, but it's so much to a journey, right?
Yeah, and you learn so much. Having three very different personalities in one place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Bernadette is grumpy. Tick is anxious. Adam is loud and flamboyant. And having those three very contrasting personalities in one space, it's going to create natural conflict. And to see them kind of working that out together is so, so cool to see. Especially 30 years ago, the film does kind of feel of its time, but also not. Because it's three people just kind of learning more about each other and becoming closer as friends. And
yeah.
Yeah. And also, none of these men are gay in real life. So we have two really famous British actors, Terence Stamp and Hugo Weaving, And we also have the Australian actor Guy Pearce. All straight, that we know of. All married to women. All married to women. And I just think to make a film... Like, this was Guy Pearce's breakout role. Like, Guy Pearce has been in loads. He's been in The King's Speech. He's been in, like, a whole string of really famous movies. Terrence Stamp, obviously, top of his game at that point. Hugo Weaving, huge in the UK.
And Lord of the Rings.
And Lord of the Rings, exactly. And for the three of them to do this film so confident and comfortable in their sexuality and their masculinity, and then to go on to have even more successful careers after, I love it.
Hell yeah.
Like, how awesome is that? Because back, like, even in Brokeback Mountain times, which is like 10 years after the fact, people were saying, you know, this film, they were saying to Heath Ledger and Jake Gyllenhaal, like, this is going to ruin your career. Like, well, are you not worried about your career?
And, I see the difference. I think because they're playing such, like, strong and flamboyant characters in Priscilla, you can really separate the kind of the actor from the character.
Sure.
While in Brokeback Mountain, they're playing, like, really... almost like the people that you see in the street every day, you know? Like, they're playing... Yeah.
That's a good point. I don't want to compare, but I just thought it was interesting.
Like, it feels less like a bit and more like... it just feels a lot more realistic. Obviously, it's also not a comedy, Brokeback Mountain.
That's true.
So I do understand where they're coming from with that difference, but you are right that...
But you're right, though, that it is more performative, so it is, you can separate it.
But it's still mind-blowing, like, for sure.
Crazy. And I just think great for them to kind of do that.
Oh, yeah.
Because, obviously, there's a debate... 30 years on, we have this debate now of whether or not straight actors should play queer roles. I don't know what your thoughts are, but there's some people that kind of don't think that straight people should play queer roles anymore. But I think back then, it's not really relevant.
Yeah, I don't...
Representation was representation at that point.
I think you can be anything as a character. That's almost like saying that gay actors shouldn't be able to play straight roles.
Exactly. And like, there's so many gay actors that can play straight roles.
Like, yeah, obviously, if you're choosing a straight person over a queer person that is just as fit for the role, I understand where you're coming from. And in that angle, I completely understand it.
Mm.
But I think that's a bit short-sighted and very black and white to say that straight actors shouldn't be allowed to play queer roles.
I agree.
Like,
back then, obviously.
It's literally acting. Like, what do you think acting is?
Mm-hmm.
You're not playing who you are in real life.
Yeah.
And even, like, Hunter Schafer recently came out to say that they're done playing trans roles. They don't want to play trans roles anymore. And only playing trans people just kind of cements that identity as the only thing about Hunter Schafer.
Oh, that's really interesting.
So, I mean, there you go. There's more to people than their sexuality.
Very true. Very true. Well, this is a good example of that, to be honest.
Are we still talking about... Yeah, let's talk about characters first, and then we'll talk about the journey.
We can dive in if you want. I don't mind. Adam is sassy.
Yeah.
And annoying. But that balances so well with the other two.
Yeah.
So well.
Like... I was never annoyed just because you have that balance. Like, it's so well done.
And they're all so spiteful to each other.
Yeah. I mean, they're like real drag queens, basically. Yeah, yeah. Like, the way they read each other and...
Such good chemistry as well. And, yeah, obviously we find out more about them along the way. Mostly Tick, because Tick very early on reveals that he's married.
Yeah.
And the other two are like, excuse me?
And he doesn't explain at all.
No, because I can't remember how long they've all been friends, but they all know each other. They all, like, live in the same community. They have the same friends.
Mm-hmm.
They know each other's lives very well. So the other two, Bernadette and Adam, are just like, you never told us you were married. Like, what is this?
Yeah.
And they're understandably shocked, because that's not the life that Tick lives in Sydney. And... there's no explanation.
Also, he says it's a wife. It's his wife that called him to Alice Springs.
Yeah.
So it's not just married, because that could mean... Yeah. I mean,
he's going to perform where his wife works.
Yeah.
As a favour.
Like, a wife. And they're all like, huh?
Yeah.
And then later, even Adam's is speaking to other people, and he's like, oh, he swings both ways. And then Tick is like, no, I don't. Well, I don't know. I mean, no, I don't. But...
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, okay, we can talk about that later, but there's a lot in that moment as well.
Definitely.
But we're just as confused. Like, Tick never explains anything about his wife.
Yeah.
Until we actually meet the wife.
And then everything falls into place, but there's a lot of kind of unspokens, which I quite like. I like kind of being kept guessing. I'm like, what's the agenda? Mm. Like, why are we actually going here? What are the real reasons for us going here? Are Bernadette and Adam just along for the ride? Yes. But like, what is the purpose?
Yeah.
And it's fun that we kind of get to learn that in dribs and drabs as we go along. And there's this really interesting parallel that I should probably talk about later, but I want to talk about it now. But when Tick reveals he's married, Bernadette says that she's jealous. And then later on, there is a moment where... I don't know if I wrote it down, but there's another moment where something happens to Bernadette at the end, which I won't spoil, but then Tick says that he's jealous of her. And I thought that's so funny that we've kind of flipped the script, where other people are succeeding and it's not like one person throughout the whole thing, like succeeding, failing, succeeding.
Yeah.
You know, we're kind of going through everyone's journey. And that, I just thought that was really nice, kind of letting Bernadette have that space as well to kind
of... Good observation.
I just really liked it because he said it in exactly the same way. He said, I'm jealous as all hell.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, that is great. That is so good. So a very clever script. They all play off each other really well. It's such a good dynamic, isn't it?
Yeah. Should we talk about the journey?
Yes. So for the journey, obviously the journey from Sydney to Alice Springs is a multi-day affair. Australia's massive.
Oh yeah, and Alice Springs is like in the middle.
Yeah. Of the and desert. I looked up on the map and was like, Jesus Christ, like they're driving. They're doing this.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
My first thought when I saw that bus is that thing is going to break down.
Yeah, 100%. I was like, this is jank.
Like, come on. Be real, guys. You paid like $5,000 for it. That's like £2,500.
Damn.
For a bus.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, sorry, adjusting for inflation, I don't know.
Yeah.
But like,
what is $5,000 in Australian dollars in today's money? Probably a shit ton. But yeah, so yeah, obviously it breaks down and arguments ensue because they all had different opinions about which way they should go and how they should do this. And
I love how Adam is the one that pays for the bus. Mm-hmm. And he says that he got the money because he told his mom that if he goes on a road trip, he's going to probably grow out of this face that he's in.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, that's how he says it. And it's obviously a joke, but it's so funny because Adam clearly comes from a wealthy family. Like, we see some some background on Adam.
Yeah.
And, like, you can tell, obviously, that his parents don't accept the way Adam is, a drag queen.
Yeah.
So him using, like, oh, I'll go out of this phase if I go on a road trip to get $5,000 to buy this bus.
Oh, my God.
Which is the campus bus ever. Like, the gayest bus. That shoe on the roof?
Yes.
Hilarious.
So funny. And then they paint it pink for various reasons later on as well.
I mean, it's lavender, actually. It's lavender.
It's it looks pink.
Yeah, but according to Adam, it's lavender.
Adam's colorblind.
Probably.
So that whole road trip thing. First of all, I agree with you. Love a road trip film.
Mm-hmm.
So good. Especially like a queer one. Like
it's giving Thelma and Louise.
It's giving Thelma and Louise. Desert Hearts. It's giving Miss Education and Cameron Post. A bit of Bound. But not so much. Anyway, I'm just chatting rubbish now.
No, it's really good. It's giving Carol as well. They have a road trip.
Carol! Thank you. Priscilla walked so Carol could run. I love the simplicity of this one, though. Mid-90s. Like, I feel like that age of film is like the age of innocence. Like, it's kind of that pre... You know that period of film where it's kind of like... This is a different world now. Like 30 years ago, like it's completely unrecognizable. It's such a time of life just before we were born that just like I don't think the world will ever be able to capture again. And I love the simplicity of them not booking ahead, going to all of these small towns where the whole time I was like, they're going to get beaten up, they're going to get murdered, they're going to get assaulted. They walk into a bar, silence befalls the bar. They walk to these places with absolute confidence. And Bernadette is obviously a trans woman. And Tick and Adam are very comfortable walking around in flamboyant drag. And they just don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And that really surprised me, actually, that level of, that lack of fear and that, or like, obvious fear.
Mm-hmm.
We don't get to see their internal fear a lot. Like, sometimes it creeps through. But I love that confidence in themselves, that this is who they are.
Yeah.
Like, I just thought that was crazy to see. It was something I wasn't expecting, and I really liked it.
Mm, I agree. There was, like, this one scene when they're in a town called Little Something.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just literally in the most, like you say, big flamboyant drag, strutting down the street.
Well, you know, everyone knows everyone. There's no strangers anywhere. Yeah,
it's like a mining town.
Yeah.
Like, but it's so funny. Like, everything's, like, the same color, and then there's, like, this bright pink and bright blue.
Yeah.
Just two queens walking down the street.
Yeah. And, you know, some of those people may never have seen anything like that in their lives.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's kind of, on this journey, they kind of get to fight ignorance. Mm. And they get to confront ignorance and actually educate.
Yeah.
Which isn't their job to do, but through conversations and meeting people and getting to know people, actually, it's something really, like, this film is deeper than it says it is.
Mm.
There's something really beautiful about, like, the simplicity of them just turning up in a town and being like, this is who we are.
Yep.
And then the people of the town are like, well, okay. That's quite nice.
Yep.
In rural Australia, like, damn.
Well, obviously they got some, like, hate as well, for sure.
Of course, yeah.
And some trouble.
Yeah.
Like, some worse than other, but...
Yeah.
I love the scene when Bernadette is...
With the woman.
Yeah, drinking, like, doing shots, like a shots competition.
Walk me through what happens.
So there's this woman that comes up to Bernadette who's being rude as... Right, to Bernadette.
Yeah.
And Bernadette's not taking any of their And then later on, when they're all in the pub, Bernadette and this woman are doing, like, a shots competition. Like, you know how you see in the films, but never in real life, because that would actually, like, probably kill me.
I'd die.
It's like where you take, like... You each take a shot until you can't anymore, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Bernadette just wipes the floor. Yeah, she is
one badass lady.
Yeah, and after honestly. That scene before that, where like this other woman is trying to act like all bad and like up in her face,
we don't want your kind here.
Exactly like that, Bernadette just drinks her under the table.
I find that scene really interesting. Like, the different levels of womanhood at play. Because I'm like, what are we trying to... Like, what are they both trying to prove? Like, obviously, Bernadette's just like, screw you.
Yeah.
But what was that other woman trying to prove? Like, it's just like... It's crazy.
She's trying to act tough.
Yeah.
Like, in front of the men.
In a room full of men who then laugh at her.
Yeah, because it's usually the men that feel like their gender is being attacked, right? Like, yes. That, like, fragile masculinity.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see a woman react badly.
Yeah.
To this. It's almost... But... Almost maybe like trying to prove herself, because she's probably fought really hard to be part of this environment, right? Like, think about it. Like, a mining town.
True.
All men working in the mines, and there's a woman that's doing the same. Like, it's probably been tough for her to get to that place, to then have, once again, gender questioned.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, I think it's just that. Like...
It's crazy.
Yeah. Same thing.
And, exactly. And I think that's when we really get a sense of just how tough Bernadette is.
You know what that actually reminds me of? TERFs.
Yes.
Like, it's giving the exact same that J.K. Rowling has said over and over and over.
It's giving
biological
tough.
Sex. Like, you just don't understand the experience of a woman.
I'm so glad you brought that up.
Feminism.
Because what a joke.
Yeah, it's literally giving the same. Like, any...
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
No, it's so true. It's so true. Like, you know, 30 years on,
yeah,
having the same chat.
That's again how and again. That's how I interpret that woman.
But so anyway, we'll see you at UK Trans Pride. on that vein as well, it really gives a sense of how tough Bernadette is, because even then, like, she does get some casual transphobia from Adam. Adam keeps dead naming her.
Yeah,
constantly.
Just to get a rise out of her as
well. Yeah, and I'm not gonna say the dead name, but like, yeah. He's not doing it maliciously. He's just doing it to get a rise out of her.
Yeah.
But still, that's not nice.
But that's like the only time that you really see her lose her and like her control. Yeah.
Because she's so like, she knows herself.
Yeah.
This is who she is. And she's so tough.
Mm.
So any threat to that, she's going to neutralize it. Like, of exactly. course.
I mean, because
and I respect that so well. Terrence Stamp plays that so well.
Yeah. There's like this one scene where she kicks this guy in the nuts, like knees him in the nuts like twice.
Mm-hmm.
Great, iconic. But she's so calm when she does it.
Yeah.
I was talking, she has full control about every situation except when Adam dead names her.
Yep.
And it's almost like, because it just hits a lot closer to home than any of all this shallow, surface level shit that all these people are saying to her, because she's probably just so used to it. Like, it's all the same thing over and over and over. But the dead naming is just so much more personal.
Exactly.
And I think that's why she loses control in that situation.
Definitely.
But she's so cool.
Yeah.
Because she just has so much control.
Oh, and she's amazing.
Yeah.
She's amazing.
Like, all these antagonists, like, she just couldn't care less. And she takes care of her other people, too. She takes care of Tick.
She is more mother. Sensitive.
She... Mother ate.
Honestly!
Did you hear that song that is, "Crazy at the Very First Sin is a Woman Who Ate"? She ate and licked the plate.
What song is that? Because I love
it. It's called Mother Ate. It's really crazy how the very first sin is a woman who ate.
Oh my god.
She ate and licked the plate.
That's iconic.
Yeah, she closed the door to heaven's gate.
Oh my god.
It's fantastic.
Oh my god, that's... Honestly, trans women walk so gay men could run.
That's so true.
It's kind of... I'm so glad they show that dynamic of Bernadette kind of taking care of the gay guy. I mean, they all take care of each other.
They do,
but
yeah.
Showing Bernadette in that role of... like, kind of like the matriarch, it kind of reminded me of media that we've seen, like Pose, and other shows where it's kind of like trans women would look after these younger gay men and kind of give them a home and give them a community, which was so prevalent in the States during the 70s, 80s, 90s.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that we get to see that element of queer culture here in the most random place in the Australian outback. It's really nice to see those kind of dynamics at play. What terrified me was when they did break down and they were just stuck in the outback in the middle of nowhere. I was terrified. I was like, I'd die.
Like,
I'd literally
I just
die. The heat, the bugs, the murderers.
Dude, I want to send out a personal thank you to the director for not including a spider in this film. Because I was waiting.
Just lots of lizards.
I was waiting. I was like, you're stuck in a desert in Australia, in the outback. And you're sitting on the floor. You're sitting in the dirt.
Literally, they were
just
chilling.
Sleeping outside. They were sleeping outside.
They were just chilling. They had barbecue. They, you know, like... And for the first bit, yeah, it was scary. They couldn't find... They couldn't find people for miles. Bernadette is like, I'm gonna go off on my own, finds this couple, brings the couple back. The couple take one look at Adam and Tick and drag and drive off.
Tick was wearing this dress with like sparkles and like sequins.
He looks fabulous.
It was so funny because Adam was actually looking pretty normal. He was painting the
he just
the
was
bus.
Shirtless, yeah.
But then this other guy just shows up in like a dress
and they're
like a ball gown
and they just go hello and then they just like they're like
they just drive off.
I was like, this is so
I was
funny.
Like, no!
I was like, this is so funny but also so stressful.
Yeah, it was stressful.
And this is when you know we kind of get to see them kind of meeting communities and you know kind
yeah
of
indigenous
with people.
People
yeah
that was
they meet
really,
some indigenous
really
people and that was so heartwarming and
I love that scene when they perform for them.
Yeah,
and then they ask one of the guys to join in.
Yeah,
that was so good.
Because in the indigenous community in Australia, I think there is a thing where it's kind of like gender and sexuality is a bit more like historically was a lot more relaxed,
yeah,
a lot more fluid. So there's no and you see that there's no judgment from them. Like you know they're welcomed in.
Yeah, there's just
they
curiosity.
Sing and dance together.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
really
nice.
Nice. It's really
and then
nice.
The shot after that is them again in their bus, and I was like, "What do you mean they didn't get help?" But then they get help.
Yeah, and then it's fine.
I was like, "Oh my god!"
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Can I quickly tell you about my favorite thing
please,
in this film?
Please,
my favorite thing. And every time I saw it, I literally like burst out in laughter just by myself watching this film. Is that girl who's running across Australia by herself?
Yes. Oh my god.
There's like at the start of the film.
Wait.
It's hilarious.
I didn't even think about what that was.
What?
Like,
No, because at the start of the film, there's a scene where she's
being
introduced.
They're all cheering, and then they just pan to the much bigger group of people cheering for the gays embarking upon their mission.
Like there's like a small group of her doing like a press thing for because she's gonna run across the country by herself.
Yes.
And then next to her, it's like Priscilla and all, like a massive group of gays.
No one cares about this woman doing this thing. Like no one's following her.
No one cares. But then. Twice in the film, or three times, we just see her
run past them.
Run past,
and they just
like,
kind of watch
they're
her.
Like, what is that?
Yeah. What is that? But like, does that mean something though?
No, but it's so absurd.
It's just such a random
it's
pocket.
Hilarious.
Like, they're just like watching this woman, just like wait.
the sound she makes. It's so.
But like, no one's with her.
No,
I find that quite sad.
I mean, she's like, she has like this little cart that's just trailing behind
her.
And at one point, she's like wearing a helmet that looks like so sci-fi. It's
but
just
like,
so funny.
No one cares. She's just like a weird, like, Delulu moment where they're just like, oh. Like, it doesn't mean anything. It's just so random.
It's, like, my favourite thing about this film.
It's so
this
bizarre.
Random woman.
But I love that. Like, just little pockets of weird moments. Like,
hilarious.
But it's moments where they just kind of, like, all stare at something and they're like, right? It's just, like, so bizarre.
Yeah,
I hadn't even thought to mention that. That's so funny.
Like, it's
just
almost more camp than the actual gays.
Wait. This woman that just like five people are cheering off and just don't like we don't hear about her again.
Yeah, so good.
Does she even make it?
I mean, God knows.
Who knows?
We didn't see her in Alice Springs, I think, unless
no.
I missed it.
I don't know if I missed it, but I don't remember seeing her again.
Yeah,
hilarious.
So funny.
If so,
okay.
Also, that's such a good. That leads on to my next point because. That's such a good example of how this film feels like they're on an entirely different planet. Like, I feel like there was this real unworldly motif where you can really feel the heat. There's nothing for miles. It's like they're stuck on this planet trying to find their way off.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's such a good motif to put in a queer film. Like, they're kind of flung out of space, if you will.
Oh. Stop it.
They're kind of existing in their own space and time for a while.
Yeah.
And even when they get to Alice Springs, it's like something feels displaced. Like it feels like they've left reality. And then at the end, they're kind of like, oh, you know, we need to go home now. Like, you know, it's like Dorothy, wake up.
Yeah.
And we don't see them return to Sydney. The film ends before that. So I think it's really interesting how it kind of just feels.
Oh, we don't see them return, but we can kind of assume the last performance that they're in Sydney.
Yeah. They get back.
Yeah.
But it's very interior.
Mm.
In like of such a vast space. It feels like they're very small. It's very interesting.
Talking about vast spaces.
Please.
Can we talk about my favorite quote in the entire film? That's just what this country needs. A cock in a frock on a rock. Adam's big dream of standing on the highest point in Australia.
Yeah.
In a frock. So like a gown.
Yeah.
In heels.
Yeah.
In full drag.
And they're like, right, we've done that. My favorite quote in this film is, no more f***ing Ebba.
Outrageous, truly.
I'm like, you're gay. Hello.
Then it ends with an ABBA performance.
Yes. Also, the soundtrack in this film, fire.
Oh, so fun.
My gay friend was saying that this was one of the films that made I Will Survive a gay anthem.
It wasn't before. Actually, I was wondering about that.
I think it was before. So I don't know. I don't know the history of I Will Survive becoming a gay anthem. In my mind, it's always been a gay anthem. This is just according to my friend that it kind of made it even more of a gay anthem.
I could see that.
Which I think is iconic. Okay, that's a whole other subject. I'll just talk about Adam for a second because okay. I think I can't relate it to my last point. I'm just going to talk about it. Going back to what we were saying about Adam's stories, some of his stories are disturbing.
Oh, yeah.
But the way he tells them are so funny. I'm literally like, like, I'm literally like, I can laugh because it's so funny. But I'm also like, are you okay, boo?
Self-deprecating.
Yes, girl. We know all about that. Gay trauma.
Just have to think about the word for a second.
Were we recording when you said that? We were.
Oh, no, was it?
Oh, Joyce basically was like, self-deprecating? What's the word? I'm not making fun of you.
But it's actually relevant now.
It's just really good, yeah.
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 Are you talking about the story with his uncle?
Yeah, the story with his uncle.
Yeah, because I started writing a note and I was like super serious, like, oh my god, Adam was sexually abused as a child. And then and then the story continues and then I just wrote down, LMAO.
LMAO. Yeah, some of the stories he comes out with. Also with the ABBA turd.
Oh, the most disturbing thing I have ever heard.
I was like, are you okay? Like,
yeah, he kept one of, what's her name?
Agnetha?
It's turds in a jar. One of the A's. Pickle jar, whatever. What do you call that? Like, what is it called when you put something on, like the acid that preserves stuff?
Formaldehyde?
I don't even know if it's acid.
He's preserving some turd.
He's preserving a turd from Agnetha, who he drags, but like he plays her in drag.
Yes.
So funny. Well, that was disgusting. I almost threw up.
I literally was like, this is not okay.
And he just gives it to Bernadette and is like, this is my most prized possession.
And Bernadette's like, what the f***? some things like that where I'm like, oh, baby, you've not had a fun upbringing. Like, bless you. But then also I'm like, you're so funny. Like, it's fine.
I mean, my favorite line that Adam says in the whole film is when he goes to the video store in full drag.
Yes.
And asks about the Texas Chainsaw mascara.
Have you got the Texas Chainsaw mascara?
So funny.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Okay, we should talk about Bob and Cynthia.
But Cynthia? Oh, is that the wife?
Yeah.
Bob.
So one of the towns that they rest in, there's a mechanic called Bob. Really sweet guy.
Mm, Bob is great.
Bob has a crazy wife called Cynthia.
Yeah.
I didn't really understand what was going on, but she basically has a breakdown. And that whole weird scene where, this is the thing that we were talking about with the three in the bus, kind of just looking at something really bizarre unfolding and just kind of going, well, that was weird. And this whole thing in the bar, I can't talk about it. It's too much for UK Film Review.
Oh, shame.
But that scene...
It involves ping pong balls. that which were locked up.
Scene was bizarre. I think it's one of the weirdest things I've seen on screen.
I mean, I was so hard trying to imagine the mechanics of it. I was like, wait, how does this actually work?
No, I started thinking about that and I was like, if I continue to think about this, I'm going to lose my mind.
And she was making me uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Like before that scene. Just the way like her emotions fluctuate.
Yeah.
Like so she keeps saying that she's like an entertainer and a performer, and Bob like shuts it down immediately, right? And we find out that he's locked up her alcohol. He's locked up her alcohol because she starts performing when she drinks, right?
And that's all we know. All the men in the town love it, but obviously Bob doesn't like it.
No, and so we are like, oh my god, he's like, he's not a good husband, right?
He's controlling her.
He's controlling.
Tick and Adam and Bernadette are kind of like, oh, this is like a mail order bride, like this is really messed up. And then we find out,
no, it's not
more
actually
of the reality, like Cynthia's actually unhinged.
It's not actually, and Bob is actually a really good guy.
Yeah.
And
and then Bob comes along for the ride.
Yeah. Well, so what happens is they obviously, well, Cynthia leaves him because she got to the alcohol and the other supplies that she needs for her performance.
Mm-hmm.
And she performs in the bar.
No, please, calm down.
Yeah. And Bob just kind of grabs her and takes her away.
Mm-hmm.
Believe us when we say that it was totally acceptable for him to do that.
Yes. Yeah.
Right? I mean,
you can pay for £3 to get the film on YouTube. You'll see what we mean.
You can get a free trial on Amazon Prime because it's like this other subscription within Amazon Prime. I just got the free trial.
I paid for it on YouTube. I'm sorry. Dumb.
It's an MGM subscription.
Damn.
Anywho, just a tip.
So I always like to tell our audience where we can access these queer films.
We should actually do that when we start the episode.
Well, I've been.
You do that very well.
I try and do it a little bit. Obviously, I'd like to make more of a habit of saying it at the start. But if you can access a film for free, it's really, really good to know because queer media is great.
Yeah.
Anyway, Bob.
Yeah, so Cynthia leaves him in the morning and she's just like so mad. And we're like, yeah, go Cynthia. But then we found out the truth later.
Yes. And this is such an interesting part, actually, of Bernadette's character growth, character arc, if you will. Because Bernadette and Bob are kind of similar age.
Yeah.
And they really get on. There's chemistry immediately. Bob doesn't care.
Yeah.
Bob doesn't care that Bernadette is trans. Bernadette doesn't care that Bob has a failed marriage. They're just kind of thriving.
And Bob
getting to know
loves,
each other.
Yeah, so Bernadette was part of Lay Girls, who was a group.
Yes.
Like decades before in Sydney. And Bob knows them. He used to live in Sydney, loved Lay Girls.
Yeah.
So like meeting a real life Lay Girl in person means like the world to Bob. And this is where they start kind of like bonding as well.
And I really like that the like main love story, well, it's like the only love story in this film, is between them.
Yeah,
like, and it's not like explicit, but you can tell that they're kind of interested in each other, sparks are flying.
Yeah.
And I like that it's with the two older people on screen.
Yeah.
And one of them's trans. I just think it's wonderful. Obviously it doesn't explicitly state anything, but I just think it's like a really heartwarming, innocent, gentle, budding romance. And speaks to Bernadette as well. I kind of didn't say it before, but so I'll say it now. But I really like how Bernadette and Adam kind of bond more. Because they're really horrible to each other the whole time. But there is... there's an altercation where Adam gets chased and nearly beaten up by some guys in Bob's town. And Bernadette is so kind to him afterwards and imparts some kind of older queer wisdom.
Yeah.
And it's such a beautiful moment. And it's a moment that not a lot of queer people get, is an older queer person kind of being like, you know, you're going to be okay. Like, not many of us have had that in our lives, kind of, as young gay people. I just thought that was so nice. And I like that she finds some happiness with Bob because she deserves it.
Go, Bob.
Go, Bob. Anyway, we get to the big show. What did you think of the big show? Because I thought they've travelled all this way. We've got to this point and we watched the show and I was kind of like, oh.
Yeah, Yeah.
It was kind of like, it kind of was like a bit, not, I don't think underwhelming is the wrong word, but I just kind of was like, I didn't really know what I was expecting. Kind of this whole big build up to this one moment.
Yeah.
This one thing that they're traveling there for.
I didn't really care much about the show, to be honest.
Neither did I. Yeah. Exactly. It was more kind of what was going on outside of that.
Exactly. And I think they did kind of show that.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, some time was spent on the show, I guess. Mm. But what really mattered was the people around, like the wife.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk about the way?
Yes, Marion.
Go, Marion.
We get to meet Marion and we're like, oh, this is what's going on.
Yeah.
And it all makes sense that, well, you know, they basically married for convenience, didn't they?
Yeah. And they did have a child together.
Yeah, a lovely boy, Benji. At first, I was kind of like, oh, that's really annoying that Tick gets away with not having any responsibilities as a parent. It's really frustrating that he's kind of got away with that and Marion's had to do all the legwork because she's a woman.
Mm.
But then I rethought it and I kind of thought, Marion's called him there for a reason and he's gone.
Yeah.
She says, okay, 8 years in, now I need you.
Yep.
It's your turn. And I was kind of a bit like, I don't know how I feel about that. But he steps up, even though he's scared, even though he doesn't know how to, he's like, okay, like, it's time to do that.
And, I mean, they do talk about how it was an arrangement. Like, that was the agreement. That's what we agreed.
Yes.
Like, Marion mentions it. So, obviously, we don't get the full backstory, but...
No, but it's interesting, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it's probably just what they wanted. Like, maybe she wanted a child.
Mm.
Obviously, she's a lesbian.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we didn't say that.
Yeah, Marion's she's a lesbian. so that's what they kind of agreed. So I don't think necessarily that he's not being or like taking his responsibility. I think that's just what their agreement was.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of like a donor almost in a way.
I was relieved that kind of came to light because I was like, oh, it's just going to be like a male privilege thing. And I was like, actually, no, it's fine.
Yeah,
it's fine. They've explained it. And by the end, it's like a little gay family.
Yeah.
I loved it. And it just kind of.
This kid.
Yeah, this kid.
Dude, like, this kid. And obviously, he has a lesbian mother. God bless Marion.
Hope for the future with that little boy.
Oh, my God. There was a shot where he puts his tiny little hand into Tick's hand, and I almost cried.
Oh, my God.
I was like, oh, my God.
I was like, this is the future the gays want.
Yeah.
It was so nice, and it just kind of showed that this film is such a recognition of acceptance appearing in the most unexpected places sometimes.
Yeah.
And Tick has gone on this journey. He's become closer with two of his friends. He's reunited with his wife. He's going to build a relationship with his son.
Yep.
And along the way, they've had these bizarre encounters. They've picked up a bob. and they've had experiences with people that they never would have expected to have. Positive ones. Some negative, but some positive. And I ended the film and was like, that was really nice.
Yeah.
I liked that. And
it was a good ending.
Yeah. I mean,
it was a really good ending.
Because they kind of also had a renewed appreciation for Sydney, for their home.
Because
at the end they were like, oh, I just can't wait to go home. And it's like, actually, yeah. You kind of get the sense at the start that they maybe feel like outsiders in their community.
Yeah.
And then by the end, it's like, no, this is where we want to be. This is our community. This is who we are.
Yeah.
Like that renewed appreciation, I really liked.
Yeah.
I really liked.
Yeah, it was so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Benji's like doing the lights at the end in the club.
Yeah, so cute.
It's so amazing.
It was so heartwarming. Yeah, I'd really recommend this film.
Oh yeah, super 100%. Super fun. And just iconic lines.
Yeah, so like, good. I was cackling. Lines.
Oh, it's so funny. Mm. Just for that woman running across the country.
Yeah.
Running across the country, darling.
That was so random. I really want to know what happened to her.
No idea. yeah.
So good.
So good. So much growth.
Mm-hmm.
A good journey.
Yeah.
Good journey.
I agree.
I mean, I totally understand how this is a staple because it's just a good film and it's positive. Like, if you think, okay, not to get too philosophical.
Do it.
But if you think about the time this is set in, and I am talking like AIDS crisis.
Yeah.
Like, this film is such a light of positivity. Like, there's one mention of AIDS, and it's in the context of, like, homophobes riding it on their bus.
Yes.
But aside from that, no one's sick. No one's scared of being sick. Mm-hmm. No one's talking about being sick. Yeah, this film has nothing to do with AIDS.
This is a celebration of life that comes after a really, life really terrible decade for the gay community.
Yeah, and still, I mean, the early 90s.
Yeah.
Still, right?
Yeah.
When did Freddie Mercury die?
91, I think.
Well, still early 90s.
So this was 3 years after Freddie Mercury died.
Like, that's just... Yeah.
Yeah.
It's only still talks about the positive things.
Yeah.
And obviously, there's the homophobia. But even then, the way it's dealt with, it's... Just in such a...
Yeah.
It's just camp.
Yeah, you're right.
It's just great.
Like, it's just... It's actually a celebration of living and being alive and art and culture and experience.
And being queer, yeah.
And being queer and being happy and content with oneself. And that is something that the community needed at the time. I think they read the room well, the filmmakers.
Yep.
Obviously, it's not perfect by today's standards, but... I think it did a pretty good job.
Yeah, but it's a product of its time. And
yeah, and
that's how people were at the time.
Yeah, and I actually just don't think... I think it could have been way worse. We've reviewed Personal Best. That was a mess. And that came out 12 years before.
Yeah.
So.
Good stuff.
Anyway.
Good film. So fun. I mean, they have a massive, like, heel on the top of their bus. And Adam sits in it. Like, draping his frock.
Yes.
It's just, I mean...
Yeah, so good.
He uses a cannon, like a water gun cannon, to paint the bus. It's just iconic. Like, there's so many iconic scenes. Like, so many bits
moments.
And bobs.
Yeah, there's so many moments that you go away and you think about and you're just like, that's just hilarious. Yeah.
Like, it's just so...
So good.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Love it. There's just, like, yeah... Well, good, guys. Good. I recommend it.
Yeah, go watch it. Thank you so much for listening to our review. I hope if you haven't watched it and you've got to this point, sorry. But go and listen to it because it's so fun. It's so joyful.
I mean, it's hardly a film you can spoil.
Go listen to it. Go watch it. What am I talking about? Go and watch the film. It'll just give you a smile. It's like an hour and 40.
Yep.
You'll go away feeling good. You can get it for free if you sign up for a free trial of MGM.
On Amazon Prime. Yep.
Or if you're an idiot like me, you pay £3.49 to watch it on YouTube.
Not bad.
thank you so much for listening. As always, we are the Gay Actually podcast. If you like this episode, we do episodes for the UK Film Review podcast on the third Thursday of every month. So we'll be back next month with another review. What will it be? You'll have to wait to find out because I can't remember.
Neither can I.
We also do episodes on our own Spotify channel, Gay Actually. Rest assured, we will have plenty to come in May. It's going to get crazy.
Almost Pride Month, too.
It's almost Pride Month, girl. We got to get things sorted.
Yep.
So we'll see you then. In the meantime, you can find us on Instagram at Gay Actually Podcast. We're really enjoying making some video content for you over there. Instagram Reels. It's so good. One of our Reels... got banned in Russia.
Love that. That's how you know it's successful.
I did some proper research into that, and it's turns out that because King Princess has the production company is Sony, and so Russia basically banned all of Sony's music.
And so that's not even homophobic.
So it wasn't even homophobic, and wow. I was like, Russia is hurting me. And then I looked into it, and no, it was just Russia not liking Sony. So anyway, you can find us over there. But in the meantime, thank you so much, Joyce. As always.
Thank you so much, Amber, as always.
Oh, such a pleasure. Stay classy. Have a good May bank holiday.
Oh, yeah. See ya.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.